Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. Hitting another one by Jimmy Song today, and this is on his Medium page, and that's at Jimmy Song, same on Twitter as is Medium, and it's a good one that I wanted to hit. He's got a couple of really good points, titled The Truth About Smart Contracts. So let's go ahead and jump in. Much like the words blockchain, AI, and cloud, smart contract is one of those phrases that gets a lot of hype. After all, what can be better than being able to trust what will happen instead of using the judicial system? The promises of smart contracts include enforcing contracts automatically, trustlessly, and impartially, taking out the middlemen in contract construction, contract execution, and contract enforcement, and by implication, removing lawyers. I sympathize with the hype. After all, how much more efficient could things be if we could just remove the need for trusting the other party to execute? What the heck is a smart contract anyway? And isn't that the domain of Ethereum? Isn't this the way of the future? Why would you stand in the way of progress? In this article, I'm going to examine what smart contracts are and the engineering reality that goes with it. Spoiler, it's not so simple and very hard to secure. What is a smart contract? A normal contract is an agreement between two or more parties that binds them to something in the future. Alice may pay Bob some money in return for the use of Bob's house, aka rent. Charlie may agree to repair any damage to Denise's car in the future in return for a monthly payment, aka car insurance. What's different about a smart contract is that the conditions are both evaluated and executed by computer code, making it trustless. So if Alice agrees to pay Bob $500 for a couch for delivery 3 months from now, aka a couch future, some code can determine whether the conditions are true. Has Alice paid Bob? Has it been 3 months yet? And do the execution. Deliver the couch from escrow, without giving either party the ability to back out. The key feature of a smart contract is that it has trustless execution. That is, you don't need to rely on a third party to execute various conditions. Instead of relying on the other party to make good on their word, or even worse, relying on lawyers and the legal system to remedy things should something go wrong, a smart contract executes what's supposed to happen timely and objectively. Smart contracts are pretty dumb. The use of the word smart implies that these contracts have some innate intelligence. They don't. The smart part of the contract is in the not needing other people's cooperation to execute the agreement. Instead of having to kick out the renters that aren't paying, a smart contract would lock the non-paying renters out of their apartment. The execution of the agreed-to consequences are what makes smart contracts powerful, not in the contract's innate intelligence. A truly intelligent contract would take into account all the extenuating circumstances, look at the spirit of the contract, and make rulings that are fair, even in the most murky of circumstances. In other words, a truly smart contract would act like a really good judge. Instead, a smart contract in this context is not intelligent at all. It's actually very rules-based and follows the rules down to a T and can't take any secondary considerations or the spirit of the law into account. In other words, making a contract trustless means that we really can't have any room for ambiguity, which brings up the next problem. Smart contracts are really hard. Because of a lot of centralized marketing from Ethereum, there's a mistaken belief that smart contracts only exist in Ethereum. This is not true. Bitcoin has had, from the very beginning in 2009, a pretty extensive smart contract language called script. In fact, smart contracts existed before Bitcoin as far back as 1995. The difference between Bitcoin's smart contract language and Ethereum's is that Ethereum's is Turing complete. That is, Solidity, Ethereum's smart contract language, allows for more complicated contracts at the expense of making them more difficult to analyze. There are some significant consequences of complexity. While complex contracts can allow for more complicated situations, a complex contract is also very difficult to secure. Even in normal contracts, the more complicated the contract is, the harder it gets to enforce, as complications add uncertainty and room for interpretation. With smart contracts, security means handling every possible way in which a contract could get executed, and making sure that the contract does what the authors intend. Execution in a Turing-complete context is extremely tricky and hard to analyze. Securing a Turing-complete smart contract becomes the equivalent of proving that a computer program does not have bugs. We know this is very difficult, as nearly every computer program in existence has bugs. Consider that writing normal contracts takes years of study and a very hard bar exam to be able to write competently. Smart contracts require at least that level of competence, and yet currently, many are written by newbies that don't understand how secure it needs to be. This is very clear from the various contracts that have been shown to be flawed. Bitcoin's solution to this problem is to simply not have Turing completeness. This makes the contracts easier to analyze, as the possible states of the program are easy to enumerate and examine. Ethereum's solution is to place the burden on the smart contract writers. It is up to the contract writers to make sure that the contract does what they intend. Smart contracts aren't really contracts, at least on Ethereum. While leaving the responsibility of securing contracts to the writers sounds good in theory, in practice this has had some serious centralizing consequences. Ethereum launched with the idea that, quote, code is law. That is, a contract on Ethereum is the ultimate authority, and nobody could overrule the contract. The idea was to make clear to smart contract developers that they are on their own. If you screwed up in making your own smart contract, then, in a sense, you deserve it. This came to a crashing halt when the DAO event happened. DAO stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization, and a fund was created in Ethereum as a way to show what the platform could do. Users could deposit money into the DAO and get returns based on the investments that the DAO made. The decisions themselves would be crowdsourced and decentralized. The DAO raised $150 million in Ether when Ethereum was trading at around $20. This all sounded good in theory, but there was a problem. The code wasn't secured very well and resulted in someone figuring out a way to drain the DAO out of money. Many called the person draining the DAO of money a hacker, in the sense that the hacker was able to take the money from the contract in a way not intended by the creators. This is true. But in a broader sense, this wasn't a hacker at all. Just someone that was utilizing the quirks in the smart contract to their advantage. This isn't very different than a creative CPA figuring out a tax loophole to save their client's money. What happened next is that Ethereum decided that code no longer is law, and reverted all the money that went into the DAO. In other words, the contract writers and investors did something stupid, and the Ethereum developers decided to bail them out. The fallout of this incident is well documented. Ethereum Classic was born, preserving the DAO as written and conserving the code is law principle. In addition, developers began shying away from using the Turing completeness property of Ethereum, as it's proven to be hard to secure. ERC-20 and ERC-721 standards are the most frequently used smart contract templates in Ethereum, and it's important to point out that both types of contracts can be written without any Turing completeness. Smart contracts only work with digital bearer instruments. Even without Turing completeness, smart contracts sound really good. After all, who likes having to go to court to get something that rightfully belongs to them trustlessly? Isn't using a smart contract much easier than normal contracts? For example, wouldn't real estate benefit from smart contracts? Alice can prove she owns the house. Bob can send money for the house and get the house in exchange. No questions of ownership, trustless, fast execution by a machine, no need for judges, bureaucrats, or title insurance. Sounds amazing, right? There are two problems here. The first is that the smart contract execution by a centralized party is not really trustless. You still have to trust the centralized party to execute. Trustlessness is the key feature, so centralized execution doesn't really make sense. To make smart contracts really trustless, you need a platform that's actually decentralized. That leads us to the second problem. In a decentralized context, smart contracts only work if there's some definitive link between the digital version and the physical version. That is, whenever the digital version of the house changes ownership, the physical version has to also change ownership. There's a need for the digital world to know about the physical world. This is known as the Oracle problem. When Alice transfers the house to Bob, the smart contract needs to know that she actually transferred the house to Bob. There are several ways of doing this, but they all have the same essential problem. There has to be some trust in some third party to verify the events in the physical world. For example, the house could be represented as a non-fungible token on Ethereum. Alice could transfer the house to Bob in an atomic swap for some amount of Ether. Here's the problem. Bob needs to trust that the token actually represents the house. There has to be some oracle that ensures the transfer of the house token to him actually means that the house is his legally. Furthermore, even if a government authority says that the token actually represents the house, well, what then happens if the token is stolen? Does the house now belong to the thief? What if the token is lost? Is the house not available to be sold anymore? Can the house token be reissued? If so, by whom? There is an intractable problem in linking a digital to a physical asset, whether it be fruit, cars, or houses, at least in a decentralized context. Physical assets are regulated by the jurisdiction you happen to be in, and this means they are, in a sense, trusting something in addition to the smart contract that you've created. This means that possession in a smart contract doesn't necessarily mean possession in the real world, and suffers from the same trust problem as normal contracts. A smart contract that trusts a third party removes the killer feature of trustlessness. Even digital assets like ebooks, health records, or movies suffer from the same problem. The rights to these digital assets are ultimately decided by some other authority, and an oracle needs to be trusted. And in this light, oracles are just dumbed-down versions of judges. Instead of getting machine-only execution and simplified enforcement, what you actually get is the complexity of having to encode all possible outcomes with the subjectivity and risk of human judgment. In other words, by making a contract, quote, smart, you've drastically made it more complex to write while still having to trust someone. The only things that can work without an oracle are digital bearer instruments. Essentially, both sides of the trade need to not just be digital, but be bearer instruments. That is, ownership of the token cannot have dependencies outside of the smart contracting platform. Only when a smart contract has digital bearer instruments can a smart contract really be trustless. Conclusion. I wish smart contracts could be more useful than they actually are. Unfortunately, much of what we humans think of as contracts bring in a whole bunch of assumptions and established case law that don't need to be explicitly stated. Furthermore, it turns out utilizing Turing completeness is an easy way to screw up and cause all sorts of unintended behavior. We should be labeling smart contract platforms Turing vulnerable, not Turing complete. The DAO incident also proved that there is a spirit of the contract, which is implicitly trusted and helps resolve disputes more so than we realize. Smart contracts are simply too easy to screw up, too difficult to secure, too hard to make trustless, and have too many external dependencies to work for most things. The only real place where smart contracts actually add trustlessness is with digital bearer instruments on decentralized platforms like Bitcoin. All right, and that was Jimmy Song's article titled "The Truth About Smart Contracts." I will be sure to link to the Medium page, as well as tag Jimmy Song in this post so that you can look at his other stuff and follow him on Twitter if you would like. I thought this article was really good because he clearly explains the trust problem the Oracle problem with attaching the digital representation to the real world. Because, I mean, there's so many situations with lost passwords and all this stuff. I mean, imagine that if you just lost your keys to, particularly with something with like a house. Housing contracts are so complicated, and the process of buying a house is so incredibly expensive and redundant in so many ways. You feel like you're repeating the same processes over and over and verifying who you are and so on and so forth. And you have to involve like two or three people that you never even meet, and it's really obnoxious. And the closing costs are upwards of thousands and thousands of dollars just to go through the process of moving a housing contract from one person to another. So you can see so many areas where the efficiency of some sort of smart contract mixed in there would be helpful. But I think he's missing that, or at least he's not addressing the fact that this is all going to happen in baby steps. I think smart contracts in general, particularly with finance, with the finance side, with money, like he said, with digital bearer instruments, is going to be the first place that they start to creep into all of the contracts that we already have. And I think it will move toward more trustless exchange, because there are a lot of things that you can do with these smart contracts that eliminate the need for that third party or that oracle until something goes wrong. And I think that's actually a huge advantage still over the current system, because there are so many avenues. I mean, just escrow, lawyers, checking for liens, like all of these kind of things. I'm using the housing contract as an example here, that can be done automatically, and we don't need to reach out to have somebody else do the process unless there's some sort of a dispute, or unless the physical asset doesn't then exchange ownership when the digital one that does. Or, of course, during like a case where somebody's lost their keys to their house token. But I think the way, or at least from what I'm seeing with how the whole space is evolving, and I kind of see the tiny little pieces of these things happening now, is multi-signature is going to be an incredibly big part of this. And where people will have to trust is in adding in, like, let's say you have a housing contract that's a 3 of 5 or a 4 of 5 multi-sig of some sort, so that if you lose your key to the housing contract, you simply just have to get in touch with two, like a backup authority, your local, your insurance company, and let's say some independent third party that is just chosen at random or something, in order to get the three keys necessary to reinstate your housing a private key because, you know, your stupid ass lost it. But when there's not a problem, when you've not lost your key or, you know, have some issue with transfer, is that most of the process can be done automatically, kind of like escrow on decent, like Open Bazaar or something like that. You can kind of pick a third party at random to be a mediator without them ever getting involved unless you specifically have a dispute, which could begin to simplify little pieces of it. And as the entire space evolves, we will get more complexity. It'll just happen one piece at a time. It'll happen in really, really little pieces. The people today that I think are like, oh, we're going to have smart contracts for everything, we're going to build this huge Turing complete smart contract platform, are seeing the internet 25 years after it existed. We're not ready for Netflix. We haven't even solved the video streaming problem yet. We haven't solved basic messaging in a lot of ways. So as far as the analogy goes, there's so much work to do. And I think multi-signature is going to be a huge part of it. Like Casa, the company that Jameson Lopp works for, is a decent example of how with their 3 of 5 multi-sig, they're not actually custodians, but they are still there as a layer of protection between losing funds and of course hackers. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out, because it has to account for physical situations or situations in the physical world that either A, like losing the private keys of the token, B, your house burning down, there's so many different situations in which the digital will not immediately respond to the physical world, and there will need some sort of interaction or third party to adjust or be the oracle, as he says, in order to have the digital respond and know of events in the physical world. But I think it will actually get there. And I think we can take so many systems right now that are, we see, you know, require 8 or 9 parties and all these extra, you know, escrows and double checks by hiring out another person to do this one specific job. The convoluted nonsense, it seems like, in some of these processes. It's like, shouldn't we have already had some sort of solution to some of these things like 20 years ago? But hopefully smart contracts will begin to chip away at different areas that can really add a lot of efficiency, but the security problem will have to be dealt with. Like, we can't add too much complexity too fast. It will have to be in very solid, very small pieces that these things are built on top of each other, until maybe 15 years down the road, in screwing up 100,000 times, we'll finally figure out how to do a housing contract right that achieves maximum trustlessness and still allows oracles to properly introduce changes in the physical world to the digital instrument, to the digital representation of it. So the other thing I wanted to point out that I highlighted in the article is the quote, "We should be labeling smart contract platforms Turing vulnerable, not Turing complete." And I thought that was a really good, really succinct line that explained a lot in very few words. So I really like that one, because that's so, so true. Turing completeness is not really something you want. Like that's a vulnerability. It's like bragging about how giant your attack surface is. It's a little scary. But with that, I'm low on time, so let's go ahead and close this one here. I am headed to the CryptoLina conference today, guys. If anybody wants to come out and join me, Like I've said before, PM me on Twitter. I will link to this article as well as tag Jimmy Song in the post, so you can check out all his stuff. And of course, follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy and Medium as well, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And of course, if you can and would like to support the show to keep these coming as long as I can pull this off, that would be excellent. Thank you so much. And also share this with all of your friends so that they can get all the best Bitcoin articles in audio by listening to the Crypto Economy podcast. All right, guys, I will catch you next time. Take it easy.